Talking about fuck you, ox, he said. We can do that. He gaped at me. I shrugged. He tried to pull his leg back. I couldn't have that. So I grabbed his other one, too, pushing my weight against the back of his thighs. His knees came to his chest as his eyes widened. He was exposed to me, his dick pressed against his stomach, his balls drawn up between his folded legs. His asshole was surrounded by soft hair, and I wanted to bury my face in him, to take in his scent, the smell of him. Ox, he said, panting again, like he knew what I was thinking, like he knew what I was going to do. It's fine, I said. You'll like this. He cried out when I licked him from his ass to his balls, trying to pull away and push toward me all at the same time. I'd never done this before, not really, but I knew the idea behind it, the mechanics of it. I didn't know if he wanted me to fuck him or if he was going to fuck me, but I wanted him loose and wet with my spit. Hold your legs, I said, putting more alpha in my voice than I should have. He didn't hesitate, reaching up under his knees and holding himself in place. His claws were still out, and I placed his fingers to make sure he wouldn't hurt himself. It was a heady thing when I pulled back, to see him as he was. There was a sense of power rushing through me, to have someone like him on his back and waiting for me. I didn't know if it was because he was an alpha, or if it was because he was Joe, or a combination of the two. It made me lightheaded, the edges of my vision going fuzzy. He was starting to twitch under my gaze, the flush spreading down his neck to the top of his chest. You're good, I told him, and he inhaled sharply. You're doing so good. Ox, he pleaded. I will. I leaned down to just above his asshole. I let a thin string of spit fall onto it. He groaned as he watched me from between his legs. I reached up and rubbed the spit into his asshole, not breaching, but enough pressure that it was close. I held his ass cheeks apart when I leaned forward, tongue in a flat stroke against him. He started making little noises in the back of his throat as I pressed my tongue against him and in. I wanted to eat him out for hours. He said my name again and again, and I dragged my tongue up his perineum to his balls, mouthing at them, taking one in and then the other. I knocked his hands away from his knees, pushing his feet flat against the bed. I didn't give him a chance to question it, just licked from the base of his dick to the tip. He gave a hoarse shout, trying to arch up against me, but my weight against his hips held him down. I tongued his slit, tasting the bitter pre-cum. I sucked down the head of his cock, giving in to experience. It bumped against the back of my throat before I stopped moving, breathing through my nose. Joe was crying out above me, hips stuttering like he was holding back. I rose up slowly, looking up at him through my eyelashes. His eyes were red, and his teeth had lengthened, like he couldn't stop the shift from happening. I pulled off with a wet pop. He looked down at me, mouth open. I said, "You don't have to hold back." And he shuddered at the words. I went back down on him, working him over, tugging at his balls, giving them the slightest of twists. My own dick was out over the top of my underwear, and I ground my hips against the bed. He took the permission I gave him and thrust tentatively up into my mouth. I reached up and grabbed his hand, putting it to the back of my head. He grunted, and the claws shrank until there was nothing but blunt, human fingers gripping my hair. He fucked my mouth harder then, pushing up awkwardly until he found a steady rhythm. His fingers tightened in my hair, giving the right amount of pull to hurt, but not enough to distract me. I hollowed my cheeks, spit dripping down the sides of his cock as he used my mouth. I choked briefly, but pushed it away even as my eyes watered. "So good," he babbled, punctuated with growls. So fucking good, Ox. I knew you would be. I fucking knew you'd be so. He tilted his head back, baring his neck yet again, and it only made me want this more. I pulled off him. I didn't want him to come yet. Not like this. He looked back down at me, bleary-eyed and with a mouth filled with fangs. Making sure he was still watching, I rose up on my knees, pushing my jeans and underwear down my hips. My cock sprang free, slapping against my stomach. He snarled at me and fisted the comforter. I pushed my jeans down as far as they could go before I leaned forward, hands on either side of his chest. He brought his arms down, biceps holding me in place. We were almost eye level, and neither of us blinked as I leaned forward enough to get off my knees and push my jeans down with my feet. One leg was free, and then the other, and he leaned up to kiss me. I pulled away slightly, just out of reach. He snapped his teeth at me. I grinned down at him. "Ox," he said, "just come here." I leaned down slowly. He strained forward. I licked his lips as they parted, but remained just out of reach. We both know he could easily hold me down, that he would always be the stronger of the two of us. But it didn't matter right now. Right now, all that mattered was that I was in control, and he was allowing it. I gave him the kiss he wanted. He laughed into my mouth, but it turned into a moan when I lay flush against him, chest to chest, cock to cock. His legs were bent up on either side of me as he chased my tongue with his own. I trailed my hand down his hairy thigh and gave a slight push with my hips, our cocks rubbing together. He said, "Come on, come on," into my mouth, and I pushed harder. We rutted against each other, and my name fell from his lips in a sigh, in a moan. He said, "Ox, I want," and I kissed it away, tongues sliding together as he anchored his feet to the bed, trying to find more friction between us. I gave it to him as best I could, feeling the drag of his dick against mine. There was a zing at the base of my spine, and I knew if we kept going like this, we'd come. The thought of him covered in my spunk was almost enough to continue as we were. He'd be marked by me. They'd be able to smell me on him. Yes, and yes, and yes. "Ox," he gasped into my mouth. "I want more. Please, just let me have more." We were sweating, the room almost stifling. He wanted more. I did too. But I didn't know if I was ready for that, to be mated. Because if we fucked, we wouldn't be able to stop it. I wanted it so bad, I could taste it. But not with everything else hanging over our heads. But there was more we could do. I'd make it good for him. I pulled back and he growled at the loss of my weight against him. He tried to pull me back down, but I pushed his hands away. I reached over to the table beside the bed and opened the drawer. There was an old bottle of lube in there, half empty from all the times I'd used my fingers on myself while he was gone. I could do the same for him. "Yeah," he breathed when he saw what was in my hand. "Yeah, that's real good. You should do that. You can fuck me, Ox. I promise I'll make it so good for you." I shook my head. "We're not doing that." He looked hurt, even as his eyes dilated. "But not yet," I said. "You know why." "Mate," the wolf said. "Do you trust me?" He didn't hesitate. Not like I thought he would. Even after all this time, after everything we'd been through, he said, "Yes." "I'm gonna make you feel good," I promised. "And one day soon, I'll fuck you till you can't walk anymore. Then you can do the same to me." His dick twitched on his stomach. He reached down to stroke it, eyes on me. "You promise?" he insisted. I said, "Yeah, Joe, I promise." I opened the lube and poured some on my fingers, getting them slick. I dropped the bottle and reached between his legs. He saw what I was doing and spread them farther. My fingers touched his asshole, still wet from my tongue. He lifted his hips slightly off the bed as I pressed a finger against him. "You ever done this to yourself?" I asked him in a low voice. He snapped his head up and down. "Yeah." "You fucked your fingers?" "Yeah," he whined at me, trying to push his ass toward me. "Feel good?" "Never could get enough," he said, breathing heavily. "Never could get the right." I pressed a finger into the first knuckle. His hand stilled on his dick. "You just breathe," I told him. "Just breathe and it'll feel all right." He nodded at me as I pushed in slowly. Just the one finger for now. The muscles in his stomach contracted as I pulled the finger almost all the way out. He was tight around me, and like a furnace. I pushed in again. His eyes rolled in his head. "Touch yourself," I told him. "I want to watch." He shook his head frantically. "No, I don't want to get off. Not like this, Ox. I need you to..." "I know what you need," I said. And he moaned at that, trying to take more of my finger, pushing back and pulling away. "I'll give it to you. Just not today." His eyes were glassy when he looked at me. His tongue darted out as he licked his lips. "But I just... Ox." "We'll get there," I told him, pushing my finger all the way into his asshole again, just to watch his chest hitch. "After all of this is done, I don't want anything hanging over our heads. When you claim me, when I claim you." He grunted as I added a second finger. His balls were drawn up tight. He said, "You promise. You promise me, Ox. You promise me." "I promise," I said, because I did. There wasn't any chance it wouldn't end that way. Joe and I were always heading that direction. Even if there'd been a 3-year detour, I'd just needed to get over myself and the anger I felt before I could realize that. He grabbed his dick again and started jacking off, slow, even pulls, swiping his thumb over the head of his cock. It was a practiced move, something he knew he liked. Just the thought of him doing this by himself, sitting on his own fingers, rubbing his cock, it hit me hard. My own dick throbbed at the thought, at the sight of him spread out before me. I looked down and watched my fingers disappearing into his ass. I barely had to move my hand as he rocked his hips down and then away, down and away. He started tensing as I fingered him, his hand moving faster on his dick. His nipples hardened, and I knew he was getting close. He kept chanting my name. Little grunts that rolled out of his chest. His eyes started flashing red again, and I added a third finger almost brutally. He growled at me, teeth sharp. His ass clenched around my fingers, and just when I knew he couldn't take much more, I knocked the hand on his cock out of the way and swallowed him down to the root, gagging slightly as he bumped the back of my throat. He cried out from somewhere above me, hands going to the back of my head, claws pricking my scalp. My nose was in his pubes when I pushed my fingers harder into his ass. He came down my throat, heavy spurts that tasted bitter on the back of my tongue. I choked on it, pulling off, his spunk dribbling down my chin, the last bit going onto my cheek. He looked thoroughly fucked out below me, still chasing his orgasm as he tried to push himself farther onto my fingers. I pulled them out, and he gasped, eyes flashing open, looking up at me. I rose to my knees above him, and all I could think about as I licked my lips to taste him was that he needed to be marked, and kisses I could suck into his skin would fade, but the smell of me wouldn't. I used the hand that had been in his ass on my own cock. It wasn't soft or gentle. I stripped it furiously, wanting him to be covered in my scent. "Yeah," he said, voice hoarse and wrecked. I want it, Ox. I want it. He reached over and grabbed my balls as I jacked myself off above him. He held them in his hands, squeezing tightly enough to make me grunt, twisting them into bright pleasure pain. I felt it building at the base of my spine, little bolts of lightning arcing along my skin, my toes curled underneath me. I shot off on his chest as he pressed two fingers against my taint. I snapped his name out like a curse. My spunk landed on his chest, his nipples. It rolled down over his clavicles and pooled at his throat. He looked ruined, owned. I'd never felt so primal. I didn't know if it was the alpha or if it was just me. It didn't matter. Everyone would know, and that's all I cared about. He reached up and ran his fingers through the jizz on his chest. He looked delirious and rubbed his wet fingers over his right nipple. I collapsed down next to him, the bed creaking under the weight of two overgrown men. We were both breathing heavily as we lay side by side, shoulders touching, faces turned toward each other, just inches apart. He kept touching the spunk on him, kept running his fingers through it like he was spreading it around. I leaned over and kissed him, and he whimpered into my mouth as I sucked on his tongue, letting him taste himself. I pulled away, and his eyes were red again. He said, "I want to bite you." I said, "I know." He said, "I want to claim you. I want to give you scars with my claws. I want my teeth embedded in your neck." I said, "I know." He said, "You're mine. No one else can have you. No one else can be with you. Not like this. Not ever. You hear me, Ox? Not ever. You're mine, and I'll kill anyone who thinks they can take you away from me." And I said, "I know." It wasn't until later, much later, long after night had fallen, the sky outside black and littered with stars that burned coldly, that we spoke again. It had been a strange sort of contentment to just lie there and watch each other. I might have drifted in a doze, but every time I opened my eyes, Joe was still next to me, face so close I could see individual eyelashes. He hadn't moved much, still sprawled out, comfortable in his nudity. His cock was soft against my thigh. My spunk had dried on his chest, little flecks of white sticking against the hair. It was going to be a bitch to get out later, but he didn't seem to care. I was the one that broke the silence. I didn't mean to. One moment I was opening my eyes, and the next I said, "You shouldn't have left." And it wasn't what I meant to say. He sighed. "I know. We should have done this together." "I know, Ox. But it's done. There's nothing I can do to change that." I wanted to be angry with him at that. Still, I wanted to be so angry. But I just couldn't. Not when he was here next to me, still looking like he'd just gotten fucked. I nodded slowly. "Okay." I wondered if it was just as simple as that.
"Okay."
He arched an eyebrow. "Okay." He grinned at me, wide and bright, for just a moment before it faded slowly. Then,
"Do we even need to talk about Jessie?"
"What about her?"
"Just why, I guess."
"Why what?" He scowled at me.
"Why is she in your pack?"
I barely restrained the eye roll. "Why, Joe Bennett, you jealous?"
"No."
"Okay."
"I just don't see why she needs to be near you, or in your pack, or alive."
I rolled over on top of him, causing him to laugh under me, squirming, and there was just miles of naked skin. "She helped us heal," I said. He searched my face, looking for I didn't know what.
"And did you?"
he asked. I kissed him instead of answering, because I didn't know quite yet how to put into words that I hadn't healed, not completely, because part of me had been gone.
I wondered at all the things we'd missed. Everything he'd been through when he'd been gone. Maybe one day I'd get to hear everything that had happened to him. To them. I thought maybe it didn't matter right at this moment. There were bigger things coming for us. We'd have time. After. Because regardless of what Richard Collins would bring, I wouldn't let him touch Joe Bennett. Not again. Not ever. Chapter 30. Hurt You. Our fucking pack. The two packs were spread out before us in the house at the end of the lane. My pack was on the couches, on the sofa, on the floor, looking like they belonged. Casual and easy. Most of them, anyway. Robbie was tense. Joe's pack stood off to the side, Carter and Kelly leaning against the wall near the bay windows, and Gordo standing at parade rest next to them. There was a divide. It was visible. But Joe. Joe stood next to me, side by side, close enough that we brushed against each other with every breath. The wolves knew. Of course they did. They could smell the previous night on us. I took some strange, savage satisfaction at that, until I looked Elizabeth in the eye, that is, and flushed horribly, even though she looked nothing but amused. They were all waiting for us to speak first, even the humans. So, I said, trying not to be nervous, we have some things to discuss. Like your lack of showering? Carter said, sounding like he didn't have a care in the world. Seriously, Joe, we get it. Jesus Christ. Joe refused to be embarrassed, which was fine, because I was embarrassed for the both of us. Damn right, Joe said, sounding smug. What the hell? I muttered. He winked at me. No shit, Tanner said. Seriously? Oh boy, Rico said. This is probably going to get awkward. Only if we make it awkward, Chris pointed out like a reasonable adult. Then, we should make it really awkward.
We could compare stories, I guess, Jessie said, because she was evil.
Yeah, Chris growled while glaring at his sister. Let's not even go there, because I really don't want to have to punch my alpha in the face. Jessie rolled her eyes.
Please, she said. He's bigger than you.
Anyway, I said pointedly, before this sunk down into something I couldn't control anymore. We've talked. Carter and Kelly started coughing obnoxiously. Joe snarled at them with red eyes. They smirked at him like it didn't matter. It probably didn't. It was the closest I'd seen to them acting like they had before they left. I wondered if this was because they already knew what we were going to say. And we've decided to see if this could work, I finished. To see if what could work, Robbie said with a frown. Us, Joe said before I could answer. He cocked his head at Robbie, but didn't flash the alpha eyes. The pack. Trying to be one. My pack was mostly silent. The humans looked curious. Mark and Elizabeth looked happy. Robbie had a blank expression.
How would that work? Tanner asked. Both of you would be the alpha?
I nodded.
We don't know him, Rico said. We only know you. And you want us to, what? Treat him like you?
No offense, Joe, he added hastily. None taken, Joe said easily. And you're right. You don't know me. Not like you know Ox. This isn't going to be something that happens right away. It's an endgame. It'll take time for you to trust me.
Trust you? Robbie said. How can we trust an alpha that left his pack behind?
Robbie, I barked. Joe put his hand on my arm. I looked over at him. He didn't say anything, but I didn't think he had to. He wanted to handle this. He wanted me to trust him. And I did, to an extent. Maybe not like I did before, but we'd get there. Eventually. He said,
Robbie, I know this might be hard for you.
Do you? Robbie said coolly. Because you know the first thing about me? I gritted my teeth together.
because as much as I understood his frustration, he didn't need to be acting this way.
You care about him, Joe said simply. He's my alpha, and I'm not going to take that away from you.
No, Robbie snorted, because it seems like you've already started.
I've made mistakes, Joe said, ones that I'm going to have to live with for the rest of my life. I hurt people here. My mother, Mark, my brothers. Ox, though. I think I hurt him the worst.
Robbie narrowed his eyes. So you can see why I...
But I've never hurt you, Joe said. Because, like you said, I don't know you.
You hurt Ox, Robbie said. He's my alpha. Therefore, you hurt me.
Joe said, okay. Then I apologize to you two for hurting him.
Robbie blinked. It's not that easy.
And is that for you to decide? Joe asked.
Ox, Robbie said to me, you can't be buying this bullshit.
You don't know him, I said quietly. Not like I do.
He means it, Robbie.
Robbie looked hurt at that, and I felt bad. I did. But I didn't know what else he expected of me.
Robbie was pack. Joe was my mate. I would fight for both of them, but I couldn't have them fighting each other.
Look, Joe said, I don't expect you to believe me, or trust me, or even like me, and I know respect is earned. You care for Ox. He's your alpha. But I care for him too, because he's more than that to me, and I would do anything for him. If you have a problem with me, then come to me. Either we'll hash it out, or we'll find some way around it. But don't hurt him or yourself by hating me.
Robbie, for once, was speechless. I was a little impressed. Joe could probably smell how impressed I was. Which probably wasn't the best thing to have happen in this first meeting together, in front of his blood relatives, even though they probably already knew. Kelly coughed quite loudly. I tried hard not to blush.
Sorry, Kelly said. Something in my throat.
That's what Joe said, Carter muttered under his breath. They fist-pounded each other without taking their eyes off me.
He'll be like you are to us, Jesse asked, staring at Joe. We'll be able to feel him like we do you?
You should have told me about that the moment we got back, Gordo said, glaring at Rico, Tanner, and Chris.
Hey, Rico said, we had to be careful. We didn't know if you were the enemy or not.
The enemy, Gordo repeated flatly, before slowly turning to look at me.
I didn't say anything, I said.
You could have gone dark side, Tanner said.
Like full-on Darth Gordo, Chris said.
Gordo put his face in his hands.
I told you guys, I'm a witch. I'm not a Jedi.
Excuse me, Rico said. Can you or can you not shoot force lightning from your fingertips?
It's not force.
We rest our case, Tanner said quite loudly. The humans feel the bond, too? Gordo asked Elizabeth and Mark.
Curious, isn't it? Elizabeth said, smiling faintly. I dare say even extraordinary.
It's because of Ox, Mark said, and all that he is. He responded to the territory's need for an alpha, and the pack's desire for one. He grew up here.
Everyone turned to stare at me.
Mystical moon magic, Jesse whispered.
I tried not to squirm under the attention.
It's not...
It makes sense, Gordo said thoughtfully.
Mystical moon magic makes sense? I asked incredulously.
Gordo rolled his eyes.
No, idiot. It's not mystical mo...
I'm not even going to say that.
Look, there was always something about you, even before all of this. The fact that I was able to tie myself to you as easily as I did should have been my first clue. But I think I was just so relieved to have that again, I didn't think of anything else. I could feel you because of that connection. The wolves could feel you because of their pack bond. But the humans, I didn't think that was possible. Not to the extent it seems to be.
How far does the bond go?
He has to push for it, Jesse said. It's not like it is with the wolves. We know he's there when he's reaching for it.
Can you push back?
The humans looked at each other. Then Jesse said, Sometimes?
Gordo frowned but didn't say anything.
Have you heard of anything like this before? Carter asked his mother. She shrugged.
Rumors, mostly. Unsubstantiated stories. But never proven. Not like him.
And who else knows besides the people in this room? Gordo asked.
Everyone paused. Alpha Hughes, Robbie said finally. And the gruff man, I added.
The who?
Philip Pappas, Robbie said. He serves under Alpha Hughes as her second. He came here when you were gone to assess, I guess. I don't think they told others, or at least not many. I don't think they know what to make of him.
They wanted me to register, I said, if Joe didn't come back.
Joe grabbed my hand and squeezed. He didn't let go. Robbie looked at us briefly, then away.
You can't make other wolves, Gordo pointed out.
But I can make a pack, I said. And I've shown that you don't need it to be just wolves. I think it worries them.
Gordo shook his head. You just had to be a special snowflake, he muttered. But there was a small smile on his face.
That's it? Kelly asked. No one else knows about...
David King, I admitted.
Who? Chris asked.
And shit, I'd forgotten I hadn't told them about him.
King, Elizabeth said slowly. As in the Hunter Clan King.
He came here, I said, months ago. That night I sent out the alert. My pack stilled.
We saved him from Richard, Joe said. Barely. He was running. But Richard caught up with him. Richard escaped, but David... I sent him here. With a message for Ox.
And you didn't think to tell us? Mark asked.
He didn't sound angry, just confused.
I had, multiple times, but I'd let my anger get the best of me.
And he knew, Elizabeth asked, letting me off the hook for now, that you were an alpha.
I nodded. Said he'd been around them enough to know.
Where is he? Mark asked. If he's still on the run, we need to make sure he's not talking about...
He's dead, Joe said. A few weeks ago. Not that far from here. Idaho.
Richard? Elizabeth asked her son.
Joe nodded.
That's why you came home, isn't it? She asked. Because you think he's coming here again.
Maybe, Joe said. And maybe I just wanted to finally come home.
They said you didn't speak, Elizabeth said. That you stopped talking again.
He looked down at the floor. It was quiet in the house.
Do you know why?
She asked him.
It hurt, he said in a low voice, sounding like the tornado who'd once waited for me on the dirt road, wide-eyed and demanding. Being apart from you. From him. I couldn't find the words to say anything. I just wanted to find the monsters so I could come home again.
And here you are, she said.
She rose from her feet and approached her son. I didn't know what, if anything, they'd discussed since Joe's return. I had a feeling she'd been waiting for me to talk to him first. She was so much smaller than him now. It was oddly endearing, the way she had to reach up to cup his face. He leaned into her hands, even as he still held on to mine.
Your father would have been so very proud of you, she said.
I don't think...
Joe,
she said.
He wrapped an arm around her and pulled her close, his nose on her neck as she ran her fingers over the stubble on his head. She glanced at me and smiled. Eventually, she pulled away and took a step back. I think we should try, she said. Because we are so much stronger together than we could ever be apart.
Is it going to be bad? Rico asked. He looked tired. They all did.
Maybe, I said.
But it's been bad before, and we've always gotten through it, because of the pack. But if you don't think you can do this, I won't hold it against you. But I need to know, because if you stay, I have to be able to count on you. So tell me now. No one spoke. I hadn't thought they would. They were brave, all of them. Foolish, but brave. Then we do this, I said, as a pack. I wondered if this is what it felt like to heal. 2 days later, Robbie said, she wants to speak to you, both of you. Joe glanced at me before looking back at Robbie. Alpha Hughes? Yes. Joe sighed and rubbed his hand over his face. He stood at my side as I chopped peppers for Elizabeth, who was humming lightly near the stove. Mark, Carter, and Kelly were off somewhere in the woods. Gordo was still at the shop, though he was supposed to be over later. I'd given the others the night off. They had lives beyond the pack, and I didn't want to take away from that, even if they looked at me funny when I said so. When? I asked. Robbie snorted. Now, probably. She doesn't like to wait.
She never did, Elizabeth said, not looking up from the stove. This will hold. Just try not to take too long.
I scooped up the sliced peppers and placed them on a plate next to Elizabeth. I kissed her cheek before looking at Joe. He shrugged at my unasked question. No time like the present. What does she want? I asked Robbie as we followed him to the office. I don't get to ask questions like that. Not to her. Most people don't. I'm not most people, I said, because I wouldn't be cowed by anyone. Yeah, Ox, he said, sounding fond. I know. Joe kept a blank expression. A laptop was open on the desk. I thought it was Robbie's. I didn't have one. I dealt too much with the computer at the garage to ever want one at home. Joe sat in the desk chair, and I pulled a second chair next to him. Robbie pulled out his phone and typed a message. It was a moment before his phone pinged, and he sent a response. He shoved the phone back in his pocket before turning the laptop toward himself. He clicked on Skype and said, "She'll call you in a minute." He put the laptop back in front of us and left the office, closing the door behind him. Joe waited a beat before saying, "It's going to be a long time before he sees me as anything but an enemy." I rolled my eyes. "He doesn't think you're an enemy." "He thinks I'm something." "You are something." Joe smiled. "Probably thinking of two different things, Ox." I took his hand in mine, still marveling that I could do this. We'd stayed in the old house, Joe in my bed every night. It was cramped and small, but it gave us the excuse to sleep on top of each other. I didn't need distance from him now. I probably wouldn't for a long while. "He'll get there," I said. "I told you what he said about Kelly. Maybe we could..." The computer chimed. A little flashing screen popped up. "Ready?" Joe asked. I kissed him once, brief and sweet. I said, "Yeah, Joe." He squeezed my hand and then connected the call. I didn't know what I expected her to look like. If I were being honest, I hadn't given much thought to this alpha at all. She didn't know me. She didn't know my pack. Not really. She might have been the big alpha, but what she did meant nothing to me in the long run. She hadn't come after me and mine, but she hadn't done anything to protect them either. But she was young. Younger than I thought she'd be. Maybe in her late 30s, early 40s. She looked calm, relaxed even. Her dark hair pulled back in a loose ponytail. The white collared shirt she wore opened a few buttons at the throat. She didn't scream alpha, but I'd only met a few in my life that I could compare her to. She didn't smile when she saw us on the screen, but instead flicked her gaze between the two of us. I realized this was the first time she'd seen us, though she'd probably heard about us plenty. We probably were not what she expected either. For some reason, I didn't think that speaking first was going to be right for Joe and me. Joe must have thought the same thing, because we both waited.
You won't remember me, Alpha Bennett, she said, voice even. You were probably only 5 or 6 the first time we met, but I remember you. Your father was, well, he was a good man. My condolences.
Thank you, Joe said rather stiffly. That's kind of you to say.
She nodded at him, then looked back at me. I refused to be intimidated by her. I don't know how much I succeeded in that. Alpha Matheson, she said. Curious thing. I didn't know if I should be offended or not.
How so?
I've never met someone quite like you before, she said. For all intents and purposes, you appear to be one of a kind.
I don't know about that, I said honestly. And you don't have to call me Alpha. It's just Ox.
Really? She sounded amused. Just Ox.
It's a sign of respect, Joe said to me.
I know, I said. But nobody else calls me that. I don't need her to either. Curious, she said again. We could dispense with the pleasantries, I suppose. I was never one to stand on ceremony.
What did you want, Michelle? Joe asked. She smiled at him, but it didn't quite reach her eyes.
That list is a mile long.
Why don't we just start with the things you want from us? Joe said. Seems like it'd be easier that way.
I don't recall saying I wanted anything from you.
You didn't have to, Joe said. It was implied.
Fair, she said. The smile dropped off her face. Where have you been the last 3 years?
Joe tensed next to me. You know where we were.
Not the specifics?
Specifically, we were everywhere. We didn't stay in one place. Funny how that worked.
Her fingers tapped on the desk as she leaned back in her chair. But you never caught up with him. Richard, I mean.
No, Joe said stonily.
And Robert Livingstone? Osmond? Anything from them?
No.
Why is that?
I couldn't tell you, Joe said. Why don't you ask the teams you sent out? They didn't seem to have any better luck.
Yes, she frowned. That was disappointing, to say the least. Why do you think that was?
Because he's smart, Joe said, and ruthless. Something your people could never be.
And you could? She asked, and I squeezed Joe's hand out of sight, because careful, careful.
He knew what I was trying to say. I couldn't feel him yet, not like I used to, but I didn't think it would be long. The packs were going to come together. They had to. I didn't really see any other way it could be. I did what I had to do, Joe said.
And your pack? She said.
They did as well. We were all in agreement.
She glanced at me. Were you?
Yes.
Where is Richard Collins?
I don't know.
But you came back.
It was time.
It had nothing to do with the King clan, then?
Joe said nothing.
Michelle sighed. I can't help you if you don't tell me what's going on.
We didn't ask for your help, Joe said.
You'll need it, if he comes again.
Joe snorted. He's already come twice. He's already taken from me. Where were you then?
She didn't even flinch. She was very good. Things are different now.
They are, Joe agreed. But that doesn't change anything between us. You and I both know that my desire to lead ended when my father was taken from me. I don't care about that. Not anymore. You can have it. Do with it what you will.
You don't trust me, she said.
No, Joe said coolly. I don't. I don't trust any of you. You did nothing to help my father. And in fact, you sent someone who betrayed us. So forgive me if appeasing your guilt isn't one of my first priorities.
I'm not asking you to appease anything, she said, that hardened exterior cracking just a little. This doesn't affect just you, Joe. Richard Collins is an enemy to all of us. We're supposed to work together. To stop him. To end this.
Claws pricked my fingers as Joe's grip tightened.
You should have thought of that when you had the chance to end this, after he took me when I was a kid. You had him. And you...
I wasn't even part of this, then.
It doesn't matter, Joe interrupted. You are the alpha of the wolves now. Everything that has come before you now rests on you.
I could send someone there, she said. Multiple someones, if I was inclined.
Actually, you couldn't, I said. She glared at me.
And why is that?
Because I'm the alpha of this territory, I said. And you are not welcome here. She laughed.
Mr. Matheson, I assure you I don't need your permission. If anything, you answer to me now.
I don't answer to anyone except for my pack, I said. And I assure you, if you think otherwise, you're going to be sorely disappointed. She looked back and forth between us, her mask slipping just a bit further.
Can't you see I'm just trying to help you? You don't have to be alone in this.
We're not alone, Joe said. We have each other. Our packs.
Her eyes narrowed. You can't both be alphas and lead the same pack. It doesn't work that way.
You don't know how we work, I said.
And you'll listen to him? She asked Joe,
ignoring me.
The human. After everything they've done. After everything they could do.
Speciesist, Joe said. Unfortunate. I never thought you of all people would think that way. Osmond did, and so did Richard. Her eyes flared red.
I am nothing like them.
Maybe not, I said, but it doesn't matter. Not now. Not with what could happen.
Which is all the more reason to let us help you.
3 years, I said, and this is the first time I've heard from you. Why is that? She hesitated. You knew Joe was gone. You knew some of us remained. And yet you never contacted us. Not me, not Mark, not even Elizabeth. Why is that?
There was no need, she said stiffly. You were grieving. Robbie was there telling me what I needed to know.
And yet, Joe said, picking up on the thread, I've been back 2 weeks and here you are.
I figured it was time.
No, Joe said. You didn't. Because you didn't want us, I said. You want Joe.
He is the Bennett Alpha, Michelle snapped. He's supposed to be.
My father told me that in order to be a good alpha, I always need to put the good of the pack first, Joe said, above anything else, because an alpha cannot lead if he doesn't have a pack who will follow him.
What good will it be when your pack is gone? She asked. Because that's the risk you run, Joe. I'm asking. No, I am begging you. Let us help you.
Joe looked over at me. I made sure my gaze didn't waver, that he could see every single part of me that I'd built up for him. We still had a long way to go. Those hurts and burns that had scarred my skin over the last 3 years would take a long time to heal. But I'd given my heart away years ago to a blue-eyed boy who loved and trusted me enough to keep his family safe. He made a little choking sound, like he hurt deep back in his throat. There was a burst of warmth in my head and chest, and it was there, however small, however young, this thread, the tiniest thread, and it said pack, and love, and mate, mate, mate. Michelle was right. Joe was the Bennett Alpha. But she didn't expect me. She didn't know about me. Whether or not she believed what I was or not, she still thought me weak. Yes, Joe was the Alpha, but so was I. And I would do anything for him, for our pack. I turned back to Michelle. You aren't welcome here. Not now. Not until this is over. Not until we can be sure we can trust you. I'm human. But I am an alpha, and I will do anything for our pack.
Even die? She asked quietly.
Joe froze. I didn't. Even that, I said, if it means keeping them safe. She nodded.
I hope it doesn't come to that. Truly. I'm sending teams to Oregon. You can't fight me on that. If they find him first, well, we will do what we can. But if he makes it through, if he comes for all of you, I hope you know what you're asking of me.
We do, I said.
I hope we'll talk again soon, she said. We have much to discuss. Alpha Bennett, Alpha Matheson.
The screen went dark.
That didn't go like I thought it would, I muttered.
He didn't say anything, so I looked over at him. His face had paled slightly.
What? You were serious.
About?
Dying for them.
For us.
No one's dying, Joe. I was making a point.
But you would, he insisted. I didn't know where this was going. So I said,
Yeah, Joe. Yes, for you? For all of you?
He reached up and gripped the back of my neck, pulling me forward. He pressed his forehead against mine.
You can't, he said. You can't die.
Joe.
Ox, he growled.
I sighed.
I can't promise you anything.
Then you stay by my side, he said. No matter what happens, you don't leave my side.
You knew this. You know what I would do for them. For you.
His grip tightened and he shook me a little.
I don't care, he said, sounding desperate. You don't get to do that. You stay by me.
You think he's coming?
I know he is.
His eyes burned. I saw a flash of fangs.
With others? Omegas? Osmond? Robert?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. He'll come either way, alone, with an army, he'll come.
For you. Because you're the Bennett Alpha.
Yes.
This is our territory.
Yes.
It belonged to your father.
Yes.
He can't take this.
I bared my teeth.
Not from you. Not from us. Not from our fucking pack.
Yes, the wolf said, all snarls and fire. I kissed him then, because it was the right thing to do, because it was the only thing I wanted to do. He kissed me back, urgent and harsh. A single fang pricked my lip, and I tasted the sharp tang of blood, my blood, between us.
Alpha, he whispered against me. And I thought yes, and yes, and yes.
Chapter 31. This Empty Shell. Heartbeat. A week after the call with Michelle Hughes, I stood watching Elizabeth sashay through the kitchen. It was a Sunday, and I told her we should have dinner with everyone, because it was tradition. Her eyes got very bright at that. She patted my hand, and we both ignored the roughness in her voice when she said,
That'd be nice, Ox. That'd be really nice.
The humans in my our pack were outside setting the table. Or rather, Jesse was, and Tanner, Rico, and Chris were drinking beer and sitting in frayed lawn chairs they'd pulled out of nowhere. Gordo was with them, and I could see him trying to find his way back to them, trying to forge the bonds that had been there before. Because even if they hadn't known, even though none of them were wolves, they'd still been his pack longer than anyone else. He needed them, like he needed me. It was slow going, given the long history between them. They understood, mostly. Carter and Kelly were manning the grill. Robbie was trying hard not to shadow Kelly too much. After that first meeting, where Joe and I had told them about combining the packs, Robbie had pulled back, had softened slightly around the others, less bristling and sharp edges. It helped that he had started to divert his attention away from me. Joe, possessive bastard that he was amused by the whole thing, especially seeing the bewildered look on Kelly's face. Joe was walking in the trees somewhere. And Alpha needed to be in touch with his territory. I'd told him I'd go with him, but he'd shaken his head.
I'll be fine, Ox, he'd said before he disappeared into the woods. And so it was just Elizabeth and I. The salad I'd tossed was ready in the large plastic bowl. She hadn't given me another task, so I waited. It felt like the right thing to do. Eventually, she stopped dancing to that song that only she could hear. She said, Ox?
Yeah?
It's nice, isn't it?
Yes.
Then,
what is?
She smiled but didn't look up from the potato salad she was stirring. This, us, you and I, all of them. And so it was, so I told her so. She said, I didn't expect this.
What?
That we could have this again.
I wanted you to, I said. I wanted you to have all of this again. After.
She nodded. I know you did, but you couldn't. Not right away. I shrugged, trying to keep cool.
I don't know.
She glanced up at me. You did, she said. I know you.
She did. Very well. If I'd thought my heart could take it, I would have called her mother. But hearts are a funny thing. They beat strongly in our chests, even though they can shatter at the slightest pressure. She heard all I couldn't say. Part of it was the threads between us. Most of it was because she was Elizabeth Bennet. She just knew.
She said, he needed to come home. For me. For us. But for you, most of all, I think.
He missed us all the same, I said.
She rolled her eyes, something she so rarely did that it still always made me smile every time it happened. Sure, she said. I know that. I am aware of that. But it was for you, Oxnard. Even if you don't believe it. Even if you don't understand it. He came here for you. She stared at me, as if daring me to contradict her. I said,
okay, yeah, maybe.
She huffed. You've settled into your skin since he's been back. You were the alpha before, but it's different now.
Is it?
You know it is. And Joe, he... She sighed and looked away. One day, a very long time ago, my son was taken from me by a monster. I'd always told my son that there was nothing to fear, that I wouldn't let anything hurt him. But I lied, because he did get hurt, badly, over many weeks. I heard him crying when the monster called us. I heard him crying for me. I wanted...
She broke off and shook her head. You don't have to do this, I said hoarsely.
Her eyes flashed orange as she looked up at me. I do, she snapped. I do. Because you don't see your own merit. Still, after all this time, we found him, Ox. We found Joe, and he was broken. He was weak and starved and broken. He flinched at everything. And for a while, I don't think he even knew who we were. And when he did know, when he remembered us, he cowered away because that man, that terrible man, had told him we didn't love him, that we never wanted him, that he was never meant to be an alpha.
Her claws came out as she gripped the countertop. She said,
and I despaired over him, because I didn't know what to do. I loved him more than I had ever loved anything. I thought maybe that alone would be enough. To bring him back, to put his pieces together again. But it wasn't enough. Richard Collins had only taken weeks to destroy the little boy I'd known. He was this shell, okay? This empty shell, and I didn't know how to fix it. And then, Ox. Oh, and then there was you.
She was crying, and I didn't know how we'd gotten here. I knew the other wolves could hear her too, but they weren't busting in through the door. They were waiting.
For what, I didn't know.
You came, she said, and he brought you home, like something he'd found in the woods. And the look on your face that first day, you were so nervous, so sweetly shy. You didn't understand what was happening. You couldn't. But I did, Ox. And Thomas did. Because Joe spoke. He spoke to you. He made the choice, even if he didn't know what it meant. You were his, Ox. Even then. And he was yours.
I couldn't speak. I had no words left. Because this was the first time I'd seen her cry. Even after Thomas, she'd grieved as a wolf. So this was new, and I didn't know how to deal with it. It didn't help that her words were hitting me hard in the chest, and I almost couldn't breathe.
And he had to leave again, she said, wiping her eyes. Whether or not it was right, whether or not he should have, he did. They told me about him. Carter and Kelly, how he closed down like before, how he gave himself over to the wolf, how he didn't speak for months and months. And yet, the moment he comes home, the moment he sees you again, he finds his voice, like he'd never lost it at all. So don't say that you're not worth it. Don't you think you're not good enough, because you have brought my son back to me again and again. And even if you weren't my alpha, even if you weren't the one my son chose, I would be indebted to you for that. You've given him back to us, Ox, and no one can take that away from you.
She laughed then, her cheeks wet, eyes red, but only in a human way. I said, I, and I just, and I want to be who you think I am. She said,
Ox, Ox, can't you see? I don't think. I know.
She was light on her feet. 3 steps and she was pressed against me, hands curled between us, her head pressed against my chest. I wrapped my arms around her shoulders and held her close. And there were those threads between us, and she pushed her way through them. Singing pack, and sun, and love, and home. After a time, I said, It's tradition, I guess. She rubbed her face against my shirt.
It is, she said.
Everything okay? A voice said from the doorway. She laughed again and stepped away from me.
Everything's fine, she told Joe. Ox and I were... Well, I suppose that's it. Ox and I were.
Joe nodded, looking concerned.
I should get this out there,
Elizabeth said, a smile on her face. She took the potato salad and went out the door without looking back. Joe moved toward me slowly, like he was worried I'd be spooked. And maybe, in a way, I was, because even though I knew what I meant to him, sometimes I didn't think I knew everything. It was a weight on me. But I had strong shoulders. I could take it. All right, Ox? Joe asked. I said, Yeah, Joe. And I couldn't keep the awe out of my voice. You sure? He sounded amused. Maybe I wasn't. And maybe that was okay. Because Elizabeth was right. He'd given himself to me. All of him. I just had to make sure I kept him safe. Because sure, he'd chosen me, out of everyone. He'd given me his wolf, which was essentially the heart of him. I said, I love you, you know? And how he smiled. It took time. It really did. Things weren't always going to be good. They'd left us, and there had only been 3 of us. They'd come back. And now there were 8, and I was the alpha. There were clashes trying to merge them together, to see if there were pieces of us that fit. Sometimes they did, and we could move in sync with each other. Other times we didn't.
Robbie yelped in pain when Carter knocked him into a tree. It was an accident. They were roughhousing. Wolves did that. But all I heard was the crack of bone and the sound of one of mine hurting. Robbie whined in the back of his throat, trying to lift himself up onto four legs. I was in front of him, even before I knew I was moving. Carter had shifted back, standing nude, bare toes digging into the grass and dirt.
"Hey," he said, "I didn't mean..."
"Back the fuck off," I snarled at him. Carter's eyes went wide, and he took a step back. I turned and knelt beside Robbie. His ears were flat against his head, and he trembled slightly, reacting to my anger. I took a breath and let it out slowly. There was a sharp knob of bone where one shouldn't have been, near his shoulder, bulging the skin and hair. Robbie grimaced, teeth gritting together as it slowly snapped back into place. "Okay?" I asked, running my hand along his snout. He nipped my finger gently.
"Sorry, Ox," Carter said from behind me. "It was an accident."
I grunted at him, unsure of why I felt this way.
"Not me you should apologize to." "Sorry, Robbie."
Robbie yipped and pushed himself to his feet, rubbing against me as he walked past. He butted his head against Carter's hip, and all was forgiven.
"You're still thinking of them as separate packs," Joe told me later that night.
We lay side by side in my bed in the old house. The room was dark, and the moon was a sliver in the sky.
"You saw that as an attack on your pack, not as two packmates roughhousing with each other."
"I don't know how to switch it," I admitted quietly. "It's been this way for so long."
Joe sighed.
"I'm not blaming you, Joe."
"Maybe you should," he muttered.
"I did. It's done. I just need to figure out how to work through it."
"Maybe..."
"Maybe what?"
"My dad," Joe said. "He taught me things. About what it meant to be an alpha. What it meant to have a pack. I could show you, if you wanted."
I took his hand in mine. I said,
"Yeah, Joe.
Sure.
That sounds fine."
Once when I was 7, my father came home from the garage. He sat on the porch, opened a beer, and sighed. I sat near him because he was my father, and I loved him so. He looked at the house at the end of the lane. It was empty. It had been for a long time. The sun was setting when he was on his 4th beer. He said,
"Ox."
I said,
"Hi, Daddy."
He said,
"Hey," and, "Ox," and, "I'm going to give you some advice, okay?" The words tripping all over each other.
I nodded, though I didn't know what he was talking about. I just liked the sound of his voice. He said,
"You think you're gonna get somewhere. You think you're gonna do something great with your life, because you don't want to be like wherever you came from. But people are gonna get shit where you walk. They're not going to give a damn about what you want. All they want is to knock you down, trap you in a job you hate, in a house you can't stand, with people you can't even look at. Don't let them. Okay? You don't fucking let them do that to you."
"Okay," I said. "I won't."
He grunted at me and took another sip from the red and white can. He said,
"You're a good kid, Ox. Stupid, but good."
I wondered if that was what true love felt like. Joe took me to the trees, to the woods, walking the path of his father, his alpha. He said,
"Dad told me that there have always been these threads that connect us. They bind us to each other because we're pack. The better we work together, the more we trust and respect each other,
the stronger the bonds become. He reached out and ran his fingers along the bark of a tree. His father had done the same many times when we'd walked through the forest. I told him as much. He smiled at me. It helps. I didn't know what that meant. Not really. But I let it go. You can feel them, can't you? He asked as he stepped over a rotting log that burst with flowers and long blades of grass. Most of the time, I said. Carter? Kelly? Gordo? I shrugged. It's getting there, I think. I don't know. Gordo, maybe. Only because I've known him. I'm tied to him. You're tied to everyone else, too. Until you broke that away, I wanted to say. Until you snapped those threads like they were nothing. But I didn't. Because I was moving beyond it. For the most part. It was my fault, he said. And I hated werewolves right then. Hated being tied to them as I was. Because there were so many times that my thoughts didn't seem to be my own anymore. It's not like that, I muttered. He rolled his eyes, and there were whispers of, "Who are you?" and "Where did you come from?" spoken in the voice of a little tornado. It was that disconnect again. The little boy I'd known, the teenager he'd been, the man he was now. He was gruff and quieter than he'd been before, but little flashes broke through the cracks every now and then. Joe was Joe was Joe. I could live with that. For him. Because of him. It's a little like that, he said. But I'm fixing it. How? He shrugged. It's hard to put into words. Try. He narrowed his eyes at me, but took my hand in his, our fingers meshing together. I guess it's like... Okay, it's probably stupid to say instinct, and that you wouldn't understand because you're not a wolf, but it's not like that. I think you're more wolf than man these days. He sounded proud about that. I didn't understand why. This is my home, he said. It's where my father grew up, like his father, his father's father. We were meant to be here. There's a certain magic in it, I guess. Not like Gordo's magic, but something that runs through the ground beneath our feet. It recognizes me, the pack, the alphas, when things get frayed, broken. It feels it. And you broke it, I said without meaning to. When you cut us off, you broke it. He winced but nodded. Yeah, I guess I did. Then, you felt it, didn't you? I remembered that feeling in my head and chest when I'd woken up that morning. The two words on my phone. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'd felt it. There was something, I said, as levelly as possible. He looked pained at that. Ox, I didn't want to hear it. I was done with apologies. They didn't help us. Not anymore. We're good, Joe. Are we? We're getting there.